What's going on, everybody? It is the Scene Snob McMahon. I'm just letting you guys know that this is part two of our episode Done and Done. So go check out part one if you haven't already, and then this picks up right where I left off. So check out part two. We hope you enjoy, and we will talk to you guys later.
Welcome to the Scene Snob podcast.
14 minutes.
I'll post pics on the Scene Snobs. The place is called Skyline. I know where that is because we have a Skyline here.
Skyline Indie Film Fest?
No, that we do. We have one of those too. But Skyline Paintball and Laser Tag. They do Laser Tag here, and I think they do the paintball in Strasbourg. Let's go to Strasbourg. Gotcha.
I'm in.
I will tell you something that popped up that Sam and I were talking about going to is where they filmed Hell House. They're opening up as an attraction escape room. And they have all of the actors there to scare you too. So you have 30 minutes to escape the Hell House. Hell House.
What? Okay, that's pretty awesome.
And I saw that. I was like, might have to drive 9 hours just to go
Way
do that.
Show up, Jason. Radar, what's
in.
Going on, Radar?
Hi, Radar.
John Wass says, "I love you too, Casey. I love you. We do.
Rude. I know, shocking, right? I'm just shocked. That's why I'm excited about it. Crying out loud.
We'll stay as long as you let us.
Well, all right. I mean, welcome." So we'll grab some kvass, maybe put on a little bit of that nice Biggie Smalls and just relax and kick back and hang out, right?
And we'll get to the topic. It's 12:15.
Hey, there it is.
A.M.
No time zones at Catholic school? Is that because Jesus is the light?
No, because, John, they don't believe in them. There's only three time zones.
Actually,
they live in threes a lot.
In the flat earth that the Catholics teach about, it's only the Eastern Seaboard that exists. Jesus, Jerusalem places.
And don't forget, we're on the back of a turtle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
we're on the
giant
King's
turtle floating through.
So we're going color magic right now and
you
all
see,
that.
See, you get it. You
the hog father. I'm all about it.
You're with.
It's 9:46 in the hamster room. My daughter's room just woke up half an hour after the kid fell asleep. Aha. Uh-huh.
That's why I don't get hamsters, yo.
And you know what?
Just
I
like
say,
hamsters.
I say aha a lot. You can go buy our aha t-shirt on the Scene Snobs merch.
Yes, you can, where you can also embrace the absurdity. Just like you do every Tuesday.
Okay, so let's get to the topic because I know Casey has been dying for this. It is Halloween season. We got to talk horror movies. First and foremost, before we get to this, Paul, give me a number. And actually, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You were close, Chris. So 52 is a good guess. If you want to do another guess, please do that. How many off-screen deaths in Friday the 13th franchise? Paul, what do you got for me? What's the number?
29.
You are way off.
Well, I love it, though. It felt right. That confidence, though, that bravado, that it was 29.
29.
Yeah, but it's the same bravado when he says The Thing is the best horror movie of all time.
It is.
I mean, you really have a pretty face. You are very pretty. You are...
Thanks, guys.
Stop.
No, you cut it out.
Radar says 68. Radar says 65. Keep the guesses coming, and then I will let you know who wins at the end because you're getting.
See, I thought you said 57 was too high, though.
Right?
That's why I went low.
I did, but I've reaffirmed it. You can take another guess. Take one more guess. It's actually not high enough. I was thinking of something else when I said that.
75.
All right, you're way off.
Okay. And now you're drunk. And now, sir, you've gone too far.
Let's get it done with you guys. It's fine.
Yes.
How could you do this to me and say 75? I was counting on you.
Speaking of 75, 75 was a fantastic year, wasn't it? You know what else happened in the 70s? The era of horror began.
No, bullshit. The era of horror began. Okay, the bait just started. Here we go. First off, horror began way before
that. Did it? When? The Brothers Grimm?
First of all, the first...
It's like 1890s? The House of the Devil?
Ooh, Penny Dreadfuls.
Widely considered. Do you know what the first moving picture to be shown to a mass audience was?
Was it a porn?
No.
Well, then I'm out.
It was a footage of a train coming into a station.
So it's porn.
Yes.
That's the euphemism I've always used.
This isn't Hitchcock, all right?
Hey, baby, you mind if I pull into your station?
And while I have all of your attention, and there's so many people watching, our second challenge is also up. Make sure you post scary videos where you scare people or you try to scare us and post them on your social media and tag the Scene Snobs. Best one gets this awesome Halloween 2 pillowcase. Everybody's eligible for that, so get to it. All right, secondly, it was a train pulling into a station. Now, nobody had ever seen a moving picture at this point, and they're in a basement in France, in a business in France, and now they think a train is coming through the wall. Some people had heart attacks and died. It is widely considered the very first horror movie.
But it wasn't.
But okay, but you still have Nosferatu, the Cabinet of Caligari. You have so many things. You have the Universal Monsters.
Oh, what about the moving pictures of Rasputin? We have those.
We do have those.
That's pretty freaking scary.
That is scary.
He is a scary fucking dude.
I learned about Rasputin from Ghostbusters 2.
Everything there you
I go. About Rasputin was in Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
Yeah.
You weren't forced to read Brothers Karamazov at like 9 and then learn about Russian history?
Are you an agent?
What? No. What?
You're a sleeper.
No, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. We're all fine here. Yavol.
I'm an American. I love America. Not Russia.
I got nothing. Dang it.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Paul's just like, I don't want that on the show.
I don't know what happened.
I need someone American. I got a mag light.
Hey, that's half the battle.
That's what she said.
Just take some Vaseline and can-do attitude.
There you go.
That's the plot of most porn. Pulp and Train. Of course you're going to agree with Casey. Jason has approximately 157 deaths credited to... Yes, off-screen deaths.
The off-screen deaths.
Right.
Kathleen, you're a pop culture addict. You better get it right. Casey needs a new masturbating material.
What? It's been a long pandemic, Chris. All right? I'm just saying... Certain things can be attractive, all right? My shipyard phase was fantastic, but now we've got to move forward.
Hey, when you get to planes, let me know, because cargo,
oh, bro,
I got you.
That was number one. That happened when I was like 16. That's what got me into the fetish. Gotcha. Cargo containers are a strong one. It's like a holdover. So
right. You don't join the Air Force because you don't masturbate the plane.
Everyone... The first time you get to crawl inside that intake and talk real nice to it, that's when you know you've made it.
It's true.
Take your word for it.
Anyway, back to the cocaine binge.
Right.
Why do you think horror started in the 70s?
I think horror as we know it today began in the 70s. I think it's difficult to say that horror itself is the genre that what it slowly turned into over the years, which, of course, Hitchcock did work there. You know, a lot of people did work leading up to it. But in the 70s is when we got John Carpenter, is when we got... The slasher genre, okay. I think, you know, that's when we've really established a lot of those and that's what was built on. Through the 80s, it was kind of just, it was crazy. Everyone was cocaine fueled, crazy parties and drugs, and let's just make this nutty movie. And then everything just went over the top, and let's do the 14th version of this because we can make money on it. I think the 90s, that resurgence, that callback to the 70s, really make the 90s, and because from the 90s, from Scream, from those Halloween stories, Resurrection and H2O, we move into the 2000s of what we have today.
Okay.
So I think the 70s is where that started, hence that to me is the gilded era. Do I think it's the best era? I do not, but I think that is officially when the timeline starts to when our horror as we know it today, that was its inception.
All right, before I have you answer, so you're saying like the slasher genre helped create the horror movement as we know it today.
Yes,
which I, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to the 80s were filled, of course, with horror. I don't know that I agree that horror as we knew it started in the 70s, but it did add to a plethora of movies coming out.
Strong words.
Thank you. Before we get to Paul and before I say anything else, do you think that... it was Carpenter with Halloween that started that slasher, or do you go back to the Black Christmas and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I think you have to go back to Black Christmas and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't think Carpenter started it. I think he really perfected that feeling it gave you that we really carry on when we think of slashers. You know, I don't think of weird, creepy family and some Texas Chainsaw guy coming to mow you down. That's not my general thought when I think slasher yet. That is one of the beginnings of the movement. Now, Jason brings up that Psycho was pre-70s, and I completely understand Psycho was pre-70s, and it was probably the grandfather, the granddaddy of them all. No one's fighting that. But your grandfather's popularity doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be, because the start of the scene that we know it wasn't until the 70s, because there were many of us, you know, proliferating.
All right. Before we get on, I'm not saying that you don't have good points. You do have very good points. And I also think that taking a lot of people say Black Christmas is one of the best slashers of all time, one of the first. And a lot of people say that going back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I do think that Carpenter with Halloween married those two movies and said, all right, I'm gonna ramp up Black Christmas's suspense. And he's like ready for the fight.
I know.
He's in the corner.
We get the beauty of My Bloody Valentine as well. So like right mixed in that time frame as well.
I will say this to going down the line. Ray Rice is joining us. Ray, what's going on, man? Loved you on the field. Not so much in the elevator, but you're awesome. Thank you for joining us. Roger Corman movies are awesome.
Yes, they are.
You're 100% right, and that's actually going to be one of my arguments. Chris Sales says, Karloff, Chaney, Lugosi, I'm going 30s. These guys penned the door and made several sequels. Before we get there, because I'm gonna give you a chance to start. I'm not ending this until we have everybody says what they say. Peter says, yeah, they are. George says, hey, oh, of course, George did not add anything to this conversation.
Except his beautiful face. Buckets.
Very true. Casey means new mess. I just wanted to bring that
up. Why are we still talking about my train fetish? You know, like giant steel things that are able to travel
into tunnels.
Yeah.
Right there.
And then out of tunnels.
Okay.
And then back into tunnels.
So. We got Casey's point. I'll follow up at the end with mine, because mine is kind of an amalgamation of both when we get there. So, Paul, I can see you're like cracking the neck. I'm at it hard.
I'm excited.
This is a very personal thing for you. Please proceed.
He got it. I think we got
it. Okay, no, please. I'm not going to. My hands are up.
You're good. I respect Casey's point, and I think I'd probably have more of the same mindset if I was growing up close to that age. Not trying to throw that age at you, but
oh, that's all right. No, I'm fucking old. That's fine. Thanks for insulting me. 30.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, fine.
First of all, you dick. He's younger than I am.
Well, that's a you problem. That's not my fault.
I am 9 years older than you.
I didn't make you. What do you want from me?
900 years you reach, but this could you will, yes. It's like Paul just, like, I didn't even say anything about horror movies yet, and he just went for the jugular.
I know, no, I'm loving it.
Oh,
it's got that bloodthirstiness.
All right, please proceed.
Go ahead. So, like, I respect.
Don't stop.
All right. Just because of the age. He's an ageist.
I want to hear it enough.
100%. But the 70s did come out with some pretty great slasher films. I will absolutely agree with that. And they did lay down a lot better movies than the 80s were, because the 80s were absolutely insane, minus The Shining and The Thing. I'd say Christine was okay as well. Anyway.
Wait. You don't like any 80s movies except for those like three you mentioned?
I'm just saying those are the three that were the best that came out of the 80s. You can name a lot more in the 70s or almost any other decade in my opinion.
Please proceed.
Aliens. I guess I'll count Aliens for you. Does that make you feel better too?
Well, I mean, you have to count Aliens. Aliens. Yeah.
But I always.
Alien was 79, so I get it.
See, it's 70s again, just saying.
That's just fair. But I would say closer to the 30s and 40s were the golden years of horror. Because if you think about it, those are the movies that were remade most. You guys are so mean. I think the problem is...
Look, Paul, that's only because we're assholes.
Paul, all
right.
Paul.
Same, right there.
Show us on the pillowcase where it offended you.
It's that middle one. I should have worn the Thing shirt. I know I should have. But
that's why he's wearing a Donnie Darko shirt. Horror movies are his Patrick Swayze.
Nope.
All right. It didn't work?
Nope.
It didn't.
Swing and a miss. It's okay. But you know what? I received you.
I'm going to put on my invisible sunglasses from Blockbuster Video.
But so if I think I continue, I like those. I think if I had to pick just a certain decade, though, I would do the 1960s with the best, because then you had Black Sunday come out, you had the original Peeping Tom come out, you had Psycho come out. You just had
Suspiria,
all
the, that crap.
Carnival of Souls. Suspiria, yep.
Sucked, man. Everyone getting all like
Living Dead.
Right. No. I like the Giallos. I didn't like Suspiria.
Okay. So really?
That's the one I didn't like. But I like Tenebrae. I like okay. There's a bunch of that.
Demons
I
wasn't in the '60s, was it?
I like Deep Red.
Demons was in the '70s.
Seventies.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was. But I'd probably say the '60s because I love 13 Ghosts. I actually just got Sam to watch the original 13 Ghosts because she didn't realize that there was an original 13 Ghosts. Because I always appreciate the black and white better because they had to do so much more with nothing because they didn't have CGI or anything like that. So it was more of a storyline. The actors were supreme in all accounts because they had to make it work and make it believable. So I'd say older.
So Paul, tell us why you're wrong.
Well, I'll tell you why you're wrong. So actors back then also had to work with, nowadays they have to work with nothing as well because you have a green screen and maybe someone with a broom and a chair and they're like, this is the thing attacking you.
True.
So it's kind of difficult to say that they didn't have anything when they legitimately had the skeleton being thrown at them.
Right.
So they were getting scared. There was a different way.
All right. Before I weigh in on this, Ray, our buddy Ray Rice from the Baltimore Ravens, I think so.
All right.
I'm holding on to hope. I mean, it'd be great to have them.
Yeah.
Modern horror isn't about hack and slash, though, right? Isn't it more about abstract things like family, aging, mental illness, social stresses, and more? Yes, 100%. I agree. Today, the themes are way more internal than they are external, like they were in the 80s, 70s, and beyond that. And I like that. I like where they're going. Like, I did not like Midsommar, but I like what Midsommar represents.
I like what they're trying to do in some cases. I do understand that, like A Field in England or something along those lines where they want to get really heady and really, you know, try to move you in a different way and you know, bring the fear into something, your everyday life, you know, what you walk and see. I think possession movies are another one that have really been huge. They got a massive resurgence. And I think, oh, man, what was that little film that came out in the 70s with The Exorcist? So I'm just saying, you know, so some of these themes continue moving forward.
Please tell me
from that era. I'm just thinking.
Are you putting a period on the sentence with him or me? I didn't say anything.
Yeah, no, I just did though, and you're all welcome.
Ray also says Vincent Price flicks were good for story and character.
Yes, they were. I love Vincent Price.
And let's face facts. The 60s, the 50s, the Hammer films of the 60s and 70s, the Hitchcock films, the Vincent Price films, Corman films, things like that, they had such an ambience to them. The nuclear movies from the 50s, you know. I mean, go back and watch Dracula from, 1938, 36, one of them.
Lugosi's?
The Lugosi. Original? Yeah. And the set that they built, Dracula's castle, is immense.
It's amazing.
Beautiful. And, and I still say that the beginning cemetery scene in Frankenstein is some of the best set work I've ever seen, even to this day.
Yeah,
you know, it just a perfect ambience. So, yeah, I do agree with Paul's point that back then you had a lot more to work with. He said they didn't have a lot to work with. I disagree in the sense that, like, where you say with green screen, a lot of it now is very much not there. Whereas back then it was there, and they built out. They did amazing things.
Yes.
I actually wish they would bring that back.
Agreed.
To a point.
I always wish for that. That's why whenever there's a sci-fi film that has some big, ridiculous set piece or like, you know, Firefly where they built the freaking ship, you know, that I love and appreciate that. That's what I want. Because you get to see that it turns into a member of the cast, like in a way. Like they have to interact with it, and that's very important to get that. And you lose that with the green screen effects, you know, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I like about it. It seems like over time, horror movies started immense. They started huge and bigger than life. And then as it went, it started coming back down to minimalist. The 70s being a perfect representation of that. And then especially the 80s. Yes, the gore may have become more hardcore. Right. Yes, the violence may have been pushed harder.
Like House.
But the threat wasn't this huge thing. Wasn't Dracula going from Transylvania. Yeah, House is a great example. From Transylvania to England and like this whole big thing. It wasn't Frankenstein's monster traveling the fields of England, you know, and Scotland and wherever else. It was it was just these huge things like in the 80s and then, you know, even the 90s to a point, 90s even became even more sort of minimalist, like, mm-hmm. you know, sticking more towards towns or houses or stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and then that carried right over into the double aughts because in the 2000s you had, what, Cabin in the Woods, Cabin Fever, you had all those kind of similars that started to come out, and all that based, again, on, you know, the slashers of the
70s. Right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those nuclear movies started ramping it up even, saying we're going to affect the world.
You just hate me for the 70s, man.
Now we get serious. This bastard over here with his Donnie Darko t-shirts laughing at me.
He's a beautiful man. I know. Don't call him that. You don't
I do agree with you, but you guys know I love
Mary because that's a factual thing.
I love all horror. You guys know that. Speaking of which, did you guys see Malignant yet?
Not yet. That is actually, I'm very excited.
The cinematography in there was the best I've ever seen in a horror movie. But what he does, like, I don't want to ruin it because when Matt and I saw our jaws dropped, we were like, that was brilliant what he did. There's one scene in there that when you guys watch it, I want to talk about because
James Wan totally won us over. I mean, with his color usage, with the way he sets things,
I love
just sets his shots. Oh, it's fantastic. It's beautiful.
Radar. I'm sorry. Radar says 1922 because Nosferatu came out and Shadow of the Vampire is the best update of a classic movie.
Random Willem Dafoe.
That's good. My love of horror got started with Vincent Price movies. Exorcist 3 is underrated. It is an underrated movie. I agree. The second one sucks, though.
Yeah.
Frankenstein is incredible.
All the Frankensteins are incredible. I love the Kenneth Branagh one. Sorry.
Frankenstein with Aaron Eckhart.
Do you like the Abbott and Costello one?
What's that?
Abbott and Costello.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Young Frankenstein. If it's a Frankenstein movie, I'm in.
There you go.
The original House on Haunted Hill is one of the coolest exterior sets. It's Frank Lloyd Wright house in California. Yes, that's a go-to for me.
Which is the reason I won't ever purchase a Frank Lloyd Wright house. Not that it's outrageously expensive. Of course not. I could easily. I'm a scene snob. That ain't no thing. What I am concerned
about is me and you and not me. What is happening here?
No. It's that other account that things get shuffled to. Don't worry about it. I'm handling it. It's fine. Oh, that's fine.
I just pay the bills. No, it was Dr. Giggles.
Yes.
Ray Rice says, and I will always refer to you as Ray Rice.
Forever.
The Strangers was a good flick for Keeping It Simple. I agree.
Yep.
And that was one of those things where it grew again. But it was almost growing grotesquely in a weird way, to where it was getting like sort of out of hand in like the early, I'd say like the late 2010 era and then the early like teens.
You mean like with the Ready or Nots and the Strangers, sort of like kind of just a bunch of the people, the home invasion sort of idea.
Yeah, they really ran with the home invasion. But I will say the Strangers setting that off, they set that bar for the creepiness, the scary, and we're kind of bringing it back to what Halloween did in the 70s. Or, from my good friend Paul sitting here, what The Thing from Another World did.
Yes.
Ah, there you go. Nice.
Another good one.
What about Venom? That was the
50s. I love Venom up there.
Do you?
Yeah, nice. It's up there somewhere.
Venom is awesome. Was that Peter Graves?
No, that was, you know who that was? My God, why am I losing my train of thought here?
I don't know why you are. Oh, trains again, right? See, you heard it. There's the train circle, man. All of a sudden, I hear a train whistle and I get a boner. I don't know what's happening.
Well, Jason, if you love The Strangers, you'll love The Strangers, Pray by Night.
Yes, you will.
Starring our good buddy and
Damien Maffei.
Damien Maffei.
Yep. Does a fantastic job as Sackhead.
He may not return our calls.
Ever.
But he's our best friend.
He is, absolutely. I mean, your best friends don't talk to you guys, right?
That's all the time.
Yeah. Just need breaks sometimes.
All hand signals. That's all I get from that.
I didn't hear from him this weekend.
This is it. Just matches.
You know, we got actually a Brian Krause doing that for the Scene Snobs.
Yeah. Did you?
This is endorsement of the Scene
Snobs. Yes, it was. I love it. We need to have Brian on again.
We do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the house in Spider Baby. Was as much a character as the act. Spider Baby is a great movie. People haven't
Spider Baby or Spider Babe, because that's two very different things. And I did love Spider Babe, but it was a late night Skinamax show, so I'm just making sure. Right movie.
It's all a very creepy movie, I'm telling you. Pop culture addict says,
"You need to talk, Casey, when we're off screen."
yeah, right. We got to circle back. You know.
Jesus. I could totally nerd out about the Frank Lloyd Wright. I don't want to say it all.
Why? It's Frank Lloyd Wright.
Exactly. House on Haunted Hill, but I want you guys to still be my friends after. No.
That's amazing. I love Frank Lloyd Wright. I think it's fantastic. Please nerd out. That's the whole point of this nerding. We love everyone who nerds out because we nerd out, and everyone should love the shit out of stuff that they love the shit out of.
You know what we don't want here? Are the people who don't know what they're talking about.
I don't like milk toast in the middle of the road, folks.
Speaking of which.
And go hard.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I'm kidding, of course. Tim, one of the hosts of Pop Culture Addicts, Funny Science Fiction, and Focus on Forward. Go check them out. Kathleen, of course, the other host of Funny Science Fiction and Pop Culture Addicts. I can't breathe anymore.
He got it. You can find them Mondays at 7 p.m.
Just look them up.
Yeah, there you go.
I know their times, but I just don't know their times.
Fair enough. Moment. I know
just
that
talk
one.
A lot. That's... And I have to go back and figure out who won the pillowcase. it was not Paul.
Jason Taylor knows about Spider-Babe.
Spider-Babe was great. Hi, Tom. Oh, God. All right. That's a mouthful. Thanks, guys.
Of course, Tom.
You know what else is a mouthful? A train.
Which is like, but like not...
This is awkward silence. That's what this sounds like.
Yeah, we're trying to make a joke about my strange proclivities, but I mean, it's cool. They're just strange.
So I do have a question for you, Casey, since you seem to enjoy the slashers the absolute most. Did you enjoy Bloody Summer Camp more because it brought back a really great slasher film?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are so many things. I'm a nostalgia addict. I believe the term is. I can't look away from anything that's going to harken back to something. And if it can actually make me feel some version of what I felt that first time watching, like Ernest Goes to Camp or something dumb like that. If you get some kind of feeling like that, that it was a movie that connects you back to a moment that harkens back to a special time in your life, then absolutely.
Right.
You're going to win me over. I'm a sucker for that. I'm an absolute mark for it.
Yep.
Okay. So I will say this.
And he's done saying that.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right. Sam and I were blown away, and Matt, we were absolutely blown away by Bloody Summer Camp.
There's so many training innuendos. Paul is never coming back on this show. This is going to be like a Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel situation from now on, and he's never going to want to come back on.
Or Sam's going to hit me up and go, okay, Paul started bringing in a conductor hat, and I don't understand why.
I worked on trains, though, with the circus, so you know I already got the train crew gear.
You see this?
That's the board right there.
That's my mug collection in the corner. Mm-hmm. There's a space right there for you to wear your train conductor hat during the show.
Boom.
Okay. I'll do it.
Yes. You live in Virginia now.
Yes. My roommates will be so excited.
Only there.
Oh, man.
And then Jason Taylor is just going on and on about Michael Scott.
That's what she said.
This show is great. We are.
You're great.
We're great. I mean, you're great.
I'm okay. No, Paul's pretty.
Everybody's great.
That's amazing.
I love that everybody is just like having conversations.
Absolutely.
In the comments.
I'm loving how much fun we're having. This has been glorious.
I'll tell you what, my family has been texting me. My sister absolutely loves you guys. It's her first time listening to you guys.
These guys are
hilarious and nuts. I was like, I told you a while ago, but at least you're doing it now.
Thanks, Sister Don.
Like and subscribe.
Bye. I think this is going to have to be a two-parter because we do actually get, because we only have an hour time slot on the radio.
Yeah.
So, but if I make this a two-parter, they'll play it.
So we'll just stay on longer.
I'm good with that. Like I said,
I love it.
I do too.
Balls.
No, don't tell us about your balls.
Why?
Because that's not
what those balls.
Don't show us your balls.
What are you doing?
I thought we were doing the Manscaped thing.
That's what I thought he was going with. I thought we were talking
about that. We have new sponsors now.
We have new sponsors.
Oh, my bad.
What balls are you talking about?
I don't know.
We can do whiskey rants now.
What? Your ball just fell on me. You literally, your balls are falling everywhere. It's uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
You should cradle them better.
So at first, he touched my thigh, and that's when I knew it was real.
Very real.
I'm just going to start writing and just narrating and like some sort of softcore porn.
Half a chunk because you're excited.
Simple touch against my thigh. And Chewbacca and R2-D2 fed in love.
Oh, and then they're smooching. Oh my goodness.
I've seen this movie. I've seen that one. That's Star Wars. I know that one.
I've seen that one. I know that one.
That's where it happened. That's where the magic happens here.
That Lord of the Strings. I watched all that.
I'm not singing that. I want to, but I'm not going to now. Ray Rice says, my absolute favorite horror flick is Event Horizon. That movie is off the rails.
I love that movie, man.
Ray Rice, did you just make a train pun too?
Oh.
It is. It is off the rails.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Ray, Ray, you have to watch every week now. You're part of the family. You see the craziness of Tuesday nights with us.
First of all, you selected Event Horizon, which is easily one of the best horror movies.
Oh, all right, let me ask you.
I mean, that's a top tenner because it's terrifying, it's in space, and it's Sam Neill doing crazy shit.
Right.
Which Dead Calm, he fucked me up too. It's another one of those. He's out in the ocean. His wife's Nicole Kidman and Billy fucking Zane's in it. So look, everyone's fucked.
Let me ask you both this. Ray, you bring up a great point. I love Event Horizon. It's a truly fantastic movie. I will say for me, another movie that came in around the same time with the same actor that I think is just a little bit better in my opinion. Not by much though, In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh yeah, he's totally wrong.
All right, well, we got his answer. What do you say, Paul?
I really liked Event Horizon a lot more, unfortunately. I hate to disagree, but I did. I watched that last night, honestly. So
yes! And it's so scary, though. It's legitimately a movie I cannot watch by myself at night. I can't. I cannot.
Right, 100%. He's great in both those movies.
So did you guys like Sunshine since you liked Event Horizon so much?
Yes, love Sunshine. Okay. Sunshine was fantastic as well.
All right, I disagree to a point. I love Sunshine until it got to the slasher part. I was like, oh, the whole movie had me enthralled with their mission.
Right.
And then when it got to the more horror aspect of it, I was just kind of like, I don't need this right now. Because it comes in a little too late, in my opinion.
I can see that, yeah, because it really goes off the rails. Like when it hits, it's like, oh, and by the way, this guy is like corpse burnt body,
right?
And some charred thing that just comes at you. Like by the time you're putting all the pieces together, it's like I don't think this is right.
And I liked the symbolism of the whole thing and what
symbology.
Symbology. I like 10 points if you know what movie that's from.
Symbolism. I believe the word you're looking for is symbolism.
I'm not going to remember on the spot. I'm so sorry.
You're not saying that's all right. Sense. You've only failed us entirely.
Oh man, we should don't say anything next time so we can give them a chance.
No, well, you get back here. You get back here. Put the headset back
on. Okay, Dad, I'm sorry.
Say, for me, going back and like with Sunshine, like I definitely need to rewatch it because I haven't seen it since it came out, but maybe I'll like it a little bit more, like those scenes, but like I really would have loved to have seen a more just focused on the task at hand and the people and what they're going
through. It would have been neat if they decided to do a straight up sci-fi versus making it kind of a sci-fi horror. So I do see that. I'd like both movies. So if they want to reshoot that, that'd be fantastic.
I will say, Ray, if you haven't seen In the Mouth of Madness, check it out. It's very much based on H.P. Lovecraft and Stephen King in that sense. It's a John Carpenter movie. It's not a Stephen King movie, but it is heavily based on like his lore and Lovecraft's lore. Kathleen says, the Usonian-style houses, are you serious?
Are supposed to be fireproof. That's why they are cement instead of wood, because his house at Taliesin was burned by a servant who was upset with Frank Lloyd Wright and his mistress. Well, you know what? I would be too, because Frank Lloyd Wright, I don't know if you know this, was a dick. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I could understand, you know, people.
Best of us are. Stuff.
But yeah, that's why we wound up with concrete, right? Way to go, cement.
Very fair.
Strong. Thank you, Kathleen, for that little tidbit.
Tim says, my favorite horror movie is Dune. You can tell me it's not horror. The movie scared the entertainment right
Bull
out.
Bullcorn. I got Patrick Stewart. I got me Sting. I got a movie full of amazing people.
I should have worn that shirt today.
A killing word. Do you know how bad? It is my dream. It is my wet dream. It is my train dream to be able to have someone yell Casey and call it a killing word. That would be amazing.
Dune sucks. That's
fuck you.
You know what, Casey? Those videos I make of scaring people, I'm just going to yell at your name. I'm going to find a way to do that and scare the shit out of everybody.
Or what you do is you just edit every time there's a sandworm in the Dune series, just scream out, fucking Mac, or something like that.
Chris Sale says, I love both, but Event Horizon wins. So many space horror movies crap the bed. This movie brought the genre back, in my opinion. Actually,
100%.
I would say it didn't even bring it back, like it just is a staple of what a good one is.
Oh, absolutely. Well, at the same time, we had what Virtuosity sucked. What's the one where the virus, where it like shoots in? Yeah, virus was that was terrible.
That was
terrible. Did not like that. Like it was a bad movie to watch. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Ray Rice says, "Oh,
slugs,
slugs, exactly, critters." I mean, come on, Chud.
Ray, if you want, message us on either, if you're on YouTube, please hit subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Appreciate it. But if you want, we'd love to hear it. So comment or send us a message or something on our social media. We're at The Scene Snob everywhere. So we'd love to hear what you thought about the movie when you watch it.
Absolutely.
Kathleen Wass, he really was. He left his wife and six kids for his mistress.
See?
I'm wondering about Frank Lloyd Wright in this episode.
As you should, right, because now? Frank Lloyd Wright is a very important member of, you know, modern history and how we change when we Art Deco an entire style. He is known as basically being a representative of an entire manner of life in the way of seeing the world through that artistic sense.
First of all, right. Kathleen is talking about cats being scary.
Well, because cats is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
Have you tried to watch that whole thing?
Yes.
That's terrifying.
I did watch that whole thing.
That's like imagining the guy in Red Dragon being like, do you see? Do you see? I mean, you watched it because you're masturbating to Taylor Swift because she makes you all fuzzy in your butthole. Listen, but whatever,
listen,
man.
Listen. Cat Taylor Swift is the hottest thing on four legs. I'm telling you
right now. It's so wrong. It's so wrong.
You have trains. I have Taylor Swift as a cat.
At least trains were built by men. Cats are just weird.
I didn't say
animals.
Cats. I said a Taylor Swift cat.
Okay, valid.
Now, right. Taylor Swift as a human?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift cat? I will say
you this. You guys are derailing from this conversation real bad. It's okay.
Oh, that's twice. Third time someone gets a pillowcase.
derail.
If you do
that's
again,
a Candyman effect. Don't do it like that.
I'm going to Michael Myers this baby Yoda.
He ate a bunch of babies anyway. It's fine.
All right. I will say this real quick with the cats thing. Go watch A Cat's Eye if you haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah. Cat's Eye was amazing, man. I loved Cat's Eye. Also, Sleepwalkers. They have a lot of cats, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sleepwalkers is creepy. Just like Invasion of Body Snatchers. That definitely
happened. Invasion of Body Snatchers is another great one.
Yeah. Meow, meow.
And now you, whoa, put that thing away.
Hey, Tay Tay. Want to sing me a song?
Isn't it back to T-Swine?
T-Swine. Is it? I don't know. I didn't only mention cats to get me going. No, not at all. Oh, I'm
thanks
going
a lot. She's the one who's throwing us off the rails.
Listen. Let's just say Cat Taylor Swift is a good conductor for me.
Oh, hey, because it's electric.
Poor Ray over here has never seen an episode before, so he has no idea what the joke is. And he's just like, this dude is probably masturbating to Cat Taylor Swift. Not really, but I would.
Yeah, it's terrifying. No. It's really scary. I actually walked in on him listening to Celine Dion's Power of Love, which made me very excited because it's one of my favorite songs. But he had a picture of Cat Taylor Swift, and it was very weird for everyone.
I'm just looking at it, like petting it.
Yeah.
I know, that's fair. I did the same thing with The Greatest Showman, so it's all fine.
You have to pet the cat.
No judgment here.
I'll bet you any amount of money Ray jumped out. Ray's like, I'm out of this. This is weird. We talked about cats Monday night during our live. Even Mick did a countdown. That's true.
Screw you. Can we start talking about Pet Cemetery now?
Yes. Yo, Pet Cemetery. That's one of the few ones from the 80s that was strong. Now, my other issue with the 80s is it was too much Stephen King, and it was really coke-fueled Stephen King. So as much as I love Maximum Overdrive, that's a special movie for me forever. That was forever.
I did enjoy
one of my
one.
Top movies, period, dot.
How I love Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Estevez at the height of his career did Maximum Overdrive.
He still doesn't know.
He has no clue. He's completely out of it. You know what? I think he was just at that diner. I think every actor and actress just happened to be at the diner. And Stephen King walked in and threw a kilo of coke down.
That's what I was going to say.
And was just cranking AC/DC. And he's like, guys, I got a great fucking idea.
Stephen King's just like, Emilio, guess what we're going to do today?
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome.
We're going to get so high and go to a gas station.
In North Carolina, which is awesome.
Yeah, right.
North Carolina, you're right. Yeah, he loved in Greensboro, right?
No, it was down the road from here. It's about 40 wow. minutes from here.
Wow, what a really? What a liar you are.
Well, no, that's cool because we'll just have to come down and find
you can't it. Prove it.
True. we're gonna have to go on the tour to try and find it.
I will go on that tour. I will be all about going to that.
I'll take you on tour.
I love that. Gotcha. Jeff needs like, oh, welcome to the insanity, Rick Ray.
Rick Ray. You
changed it to Ray Rice. Yeah, welcome, dude. I mean, if furries are your thing, great. Just leave the real cats alone.
Oh, he does.
First
don't
of
worry.
All, I don't touch real cats or no. any animals. We protect animals on the scene snubs and women and children and the whole nine.
Yep.
We're very protective. Now, I'm not into furries, but you put Taylor Swift in a cat costume and I'm all in.
That's this is why you're going over it as cat stuff. I get it now. It's Tuesday, so it's Thursday for you, huh?
Oh, look at that guy. It's actually no, I'm not into whole furries, it's more just a mascot head thing.
Listen, I hate to break this to you, Paul, but that's a t-shirt now. can't type laughing too hard. We have that effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
Ray says the duel, of King of that era, for that era. What duel the Detroit.
The truck.
That's a Steven Spielberg.
Steven movie. Spielberg was Duel. Yeah. Because the Maximum Overdrive was the Stephen King, which is personal favorite, not a good movie. AC/DC, but he kills children with a Coke machine.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Dude.
Oh my God. That's
amazing. Kids trying to outrun it and zigzag, and they're just shooting out everywhere, chasing him like
a kid's riding his bike down the street. And he knows his whole family's dead. And the lawnmower is chasing after him. If that's not Coke, that's like inspiring.
No, it is. How can you not outrun a meat cutter that's attached to the wall?
Yes.
She's like, oh, it's going. Oh, it's going. Oh,
like, I do want to add up. He says he thinks King wrote Duel. He might have actually.
He might have written Duel.
I didn't want to take that away from
him. One of the things I also love from that era of Stephen King was a lot of his earlier ones, more Christine, Misery, things along those lines.
Oh,
Paul, were you a Stephen Kingite?
Ooh.
Which favorite Stephen King movie?
The Shining.
Why do you feel bad about that?
Which I don't know.
Now, is it the one that he did with sci-fi?
So you don't have a favorite?
I like the Kubrick
King movie.
You have a favorite Stanley Kubrick
movie because that was clearly
okay. So Stephen King. That's a tough one.
Don't lie to us. You know what we're about.
Stand by.
I watched that today.
It'd probably be Children of the Corn.
Oh, okay. All right. I think that's strong.
Oh, that's what it was. Radar says it was filmed in Wilmington.
Cool. Cujo was one of my favorites as well. Okay. Sales just brought up Cujo. I loved Cujo. That scene with the kid in the car and the mom and the dog outside barking and going nuts was oddly way scarier in the book than it was in the actual movie. Like in the book, I was terrified. I was like, I don't want to keep reading this. I'm done. I'd rather go back and reread Misery at this point.
Which is pretty bad.
For 10-year-old me, I'm like, no, give me the crazy chick who's a nurse. Right. I'll escape from that.
Right.
I do want to say...
it's like when we were talking about The Mist the other day. Or you guys were talking about The Mist the other day, and I was commenting, and it was just like, oh, The
Mist. I do want to say to Ray real quick. So it was Richard Matheson who wrote Duel. And actually, check him out. He wrote a lot of really cool stuff. That's it. That's all. The shows that go completely haywire are my favorite.
Welcome.
Every episode.
Hello.
Clearly, says. Paul jumped in and was just Scene Snobs Interstate Tour needs to happen.
Yeah.
If you can book it and we get paid, I'm in.
Hell yeah. Don't even pay us.
Fire up the minivan and go.
Just give us enough money so that we can get like roadside places, some attractions. Like we got to be able to stop by the largest ball of twine.
You just want to meet Casey toilet. In person to solidify your man love, John?
Yeah, there's not a darn thing wrong with that,
John. I was going to say, what about me? Do I get nothing no wrong with love? That.
You get all the love. Everyone else who doesn't Casey love me loves it's you. It's mostly love.
You know what it is with Casey, though, is Casey promised every viewer that he would have a certified hug for us if we got to meet him in person and we watched the show.
I'm not doing that.
I'll wear a mask. I'll wear a face shield.
Look at these. They're ready, man. They're ready. This whole area right here.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Arms wide open.
I'm not doing that. I didn't do that before COVID. I'm not doing that after.
What if I just sneak attack?
Yeah. Oh, I do. Yeah, don't worry. All the time.
Yes. I'm going to say this to Chris. Cujo was one. Cujo is a weird one because when we put Ramrod down with my family dog who we loved, and we didn't do it just to do it. He had cancer. We loved that dog. I watched Cujo that night. I don't know why, but I had a calling to watch Cujo.
Well, it's better than Old Yeller.
Right.
Yeah. Everything's better than Old Yeller.
Well, I mean, valid. It was also just a bad movie. So.
Fun fact, Misery was the original.
Yes, it was, Chris. Yes, it was. Original Footloose. Although I wish Kenny Loggins had done a Misery version. That would have been way cooler.
I tell you what, with you, John. The worst decision my parents ever made is we had to put down our family German Shepherd because she just wasn't okay. She was blind and deaf and just couldn't go to the bathroom. It was the first time.
Latin.
So
that's a callback to the last episode.
they watched A Dog's Purpose after putting down their dog because they didn't realize how that.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible! Right.
So wait. When they did that, did they go find other dogs to try hope that your dog transferred to a new dog? Because that's what that movie is.
Right.
Or they could be like get inspired and watch Milo and Otis because there's a couple scenes where they were actually chucking dogs off of a hill. Throwing bugs in the air.
That is like one of the most horrific movies ever. And when I heard this,
the ASPCA assaults.
I love animals, and I don't want any harm to come to animals. Mm-hmm. When I heard the story, they were literally just throwing pugs off of the mountain.
Right. And did you say something like 20 plus animals, Casey? I know you guys talked about it, and you gave a number.
Oh, yeah, what Milo and Otis did? Yeah,
it was ridiculous. Did you really go that far back and listen to our shows?
Yes.
I love you.
I know.
I love you guys.
You can have a hug. You can have a hug. I like warm hugs. We'll go to John.
Oh, I got one here for you.
No, we got to go to John. And then I'm going to hug John from the outside, and we're both hugging, but I get the butt part.
Wait, were you going to hug John from the inside?
Okay, I'll hug him from the inside, then you hug him from the outside, and you get the butt part.
So you get to be the caboose.
Oh, yeah. See? We're planning this. It's going to happen. In our Michigan tour.
Yeah, this is the Michigan
leg. Michigan leg.
There's going to be some real weird stuff in Michigan, baby.
Ray Rice is my brother's best friend growing up. Ray Rice is, we call him Trav. Trav is awesome. We're friends, but that's my brother's best friend because they're watching right now, too.
Sweet.
Why did you ruin this for me?
No, it's okay. It's actually made it
better. I didn't ruin it. It did make it better.
It's not of abuser of women, so I feel pretty good. That jumped it up.
I wanted the Ray Rice that clearly knocked out a woman on an elevator.
Okay, Sam.
We don't know. Hey, no.
No.
Unless Sam is going to punch you in the mouth. Let's just not punch anyone. Let's hug. Why did we get off the hugging? Trains and hugs, y'all. Trains and hugs. That's what our first tour is going to be named Trains and Hugs. The Scene Stops Trains and Hugs Tour.
It's happening.
I like that.
Write it down.
I'll put you guys up in Greensboro. You guys still need to come down here.
So our whole tour is in my minivan driving around with like sandwiches and a cooler.
Yes.
And some sodas.
Yes.
Going to our friends' houses.
Yes.
That actually watched the show. And then hope that we can get far enough to get to the West Coast and watch a sunset.
Exactly.
I got
get hugs along the way. So it's like Fandango?
See, and I can detail your car before you travel out there. It'll be brand new. It'll look shiny. Yeah. Brand new truck.
Jimmy Starr, the man Jimmy Starr, and the man Ron Russell, we need a place to stay in our California leg. So you got to invite us up to Palm Springs.
It's cool because I can at least go bother my sister. I'll just stand outside of her apartment building and yell, Amanda! I'm sure she'll love that.
Come down.
Make Sean check IMDb for dog deaths before I'll agree to watch.
Yeah, no, you should.
You shouldn't watch Milo and Otis.
No, you shouldn't.
Wait, no. Check for the dog deaths.
You must
actually see the bugs go.
Oh, you want to see them die, Kathleen. Okay, yes. Well, that's a little twisted, but God love you. Oh, do you?
I
support you, girl.
I hate Dune. She loves Milo and Otis. It's such a weird combo, but we make it
work. Are you going to give the new Dune a chance now that you said Dune?
Yes, I will. I try to give everything a chance.
A chance to crap on it.
No, I have not really crapped on a new one. I have not really I kind of crapped on a new one. Not that much. I'm going to watch it. I'll see it. I'm going to try and go in with no preconceived. It's fucking boring, though, man.
Well, look, it's going to be long. It's Denis Villeneuve, so it's going to be
The books were what, 8 books?
I mean, they're only going to do the first one. That's all you need to do is the first Dune, you know? And there's so much story packed in there. And the idea of trying to figure out that this planet is worthwhile and building the universe building and everything you have to do. It's a lot to chew, man. So I understand right. It's going to be a lot to put in there, but we're talking Timothy Chalamet, who's fantastic. I mean, I loved him in The King. I thought he was really good.
I did see The King. That is
Bautista is going to be in that, which is great. We've got who else?
Jason Momoa.
That's the guy. Yeah, I almost called him Jason Samoa because I'm
Josh Brolin's in it. There's a lot of people in it. I like the director. I like the filmmakers mm-hmm. behind it. Ridley Scott's behind it. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Or is he?
No, it's Denis Villeneuve.
No, I know he's not.
Oh, it's a Ridley Scott. I thought Ridley film, Scott might though, have been think,
producing it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is not maybe right. Yeah. I may be wrong or right there. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna check it out, see what it's like. Although I did like the books, and I'm not a sci-fi guy.
And those books are hard to read, man. Herbert is not a great author. Like he has some cool story he gives you,
right?
But it's a lot. It's dense, man. You got to chew through that. You need a big old cup of milk to watch that thing down every bite.
I like books, and that's when I say sci-fi guy is in terms of books, not. Take movies out of it.
And he just finished Clifford. So, you know, we're getting him up there. He's starting to read the big books.
What color is he?
Dog got so big. He got so big and I loved it. And he was red and he was playful. You know who didn't love it because he didn't die? Kathleen.
Oh, wow.
Well, I thought the latest Clifford was that he died.
I'll try.
They changed his color, something more neutral.
Exactly.
I'll try the new Dune for one reason, Jason Momoa.
Yep, of see, course because will. Jason Momoa. And you know what? I like Jason Momoa as the eye candy. I understand he's the eye candy. I get it.
I like him as an actor.
He's decent as an actor. He's not great, but he's decent. No. He's totally passable, and he's a fun dude, and he's a good person. So, yeah, I support him.
I love him.
Good-looking actors. I'm still going to say Paul Rudd.
Well, Paul Rudd's one of the tops, man.
All right, summer's over.
The tip tops. No, it's not.
Whoa.
Summer's not over.
We're pumpkin spicing.
According to you, you said.
But the summer of Rudd does not stop until the 21st, which is the official first day of fall. So we still have, that's terrible, 7 days. All right, I can math. Seven days left. Yes. Yeah.
But the whole point, everything we've been playing up to for this has not come to fruition, so I'm going to leave it a secret until the 7 days is up.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm still trying.
Oh, no, I'm still trying, too. Both of us are really working on the Summer of Rudd, and we will have a major update on that after finishing our Summer of Done interview.
So, Summer of Done. Done and Done. That's the title of the episode.
The Fall of Paul.
No, so the first episode, I'm going to cut this into two, is Done and Done. And then the second episode is going to be
not quite done yet. Yes. Yes.
So there you go. Thanks to Nick. I'm now going to be the podcasting girl that hates puppies. I'm going to go cry.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, we didn't say you hated puppies. That's how
you hate every animal.
No, we didn't say that either. We were just saying you like to see them die, which is a differently twisted thing. It's totally not like a negative thing. Like, I mean, no one thinks you hate puppies.
I mean, it could be the new
You puppy. Probably love puppies, and you love seeing their demise. But I hate to each their own trains. Am I right? Like, don't get me started on gondolas.
Cat Taylor Swift.
Woo!
Cat Taylor Swift.
Like, man, harder than Chinese arithmetic right there.
I want to train up Cat Taylor Swift's ass. Not real Taylor Swift. We've heard a lot.
And not a real train.
Girl's an American.
More like a Lionel.
And Kathleen, you want to see puppies die?
Yay! Everyone's got a thing.
It's a thing.
We're not here to judge. We love you.
Don't cry. You're judgment
free. Kathleen, we love everybody.
If someone made you cry, they should be punished. So let's go find out who made Kathleen cry. That's what we're going to do. That's the next part of this episode.
And John Law says, I'm married to a monster. Which is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I thought he was going to say we no longer have any house pets because of her.
That's awful.
Kathleen watches Babe, and then when he goes, that'll do, pig, that'll do, she turns it off and is like, that's right, bacon, that'll do. And that's how that movie ends for her.
That's where she's done with it. She's like, yep.
I'm kind of the person that apologizes to spiders when I kill them. And John gets to sleep on the couch. And this horror movie fall show turned into a nightmare for me.
I'm having a ball. Like, this has been great. See, Kathleen, I don't actually apologize to spiders, but I do try to talk to them. and bring them outside. So I feel your pain.
Well, see, Kathleen kills the spiders because she saw Charlotte's web save that pig. And she's I'm going to kill all spiders so all pigs die now.
Well, because after reading Animal Farm, I'm sure she would just thought that. Like, probably read Animal Farm at like six at a tender age, thinking it was an exciting kid's book.
You were so happy when that capitalist horse died, weren't you?
I thought spiders was like a metaphor or something.
Spiders was a metaphor for fascism.
I apologize when I kill a spider. Like, oh, okay.
I love it.
Spider was his uncle. Like, all right, it's fine.
So which spider are you killing, spider babe?
Oh, man.
And we brought it all the way back around. And with that, I think we're going to end things.
All right.
So
well, I think to wrap it up in conclusion, we have managed to figure out that Kathleen
loves bacon, and that's okay.
Yeah, we love bacon. You can kill pigs because they're made of bacon, and you can feed them trash like apples, and they make something amazing like bacon. So, which technically, according to a study that just came out from Oxford, that eating a piece of bacon takes off 3 minutes of your life.
Wow, I should be dead.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm alive. Like a double cheeseburger is like 8 minutes. It was terrible.
So that plus 2 minutes to take like 20 minutes off. I should not exist. After cigarettes too, I shouldn't exist right now.
You
gotta quit smoking. I'm toast. You gotta quit smoking.
Yeah.
I'm 3 days away from my 3-year anniversary of quitting.
That's awesome.
Quit the smoking, man. Do it. Yeah.
But that's how I met Casey though. Something bad about something good.
I don't want you to die. We need viewers in 20 years.
I need to be here in 20 years, bro.
It's set up to auto pay. You're gonna keep me no matter what.
And now to our sponsors.
That was beautiful.
quick announcements. Okay, so actually, real quick. Holy
good
crap.
Call, Kathleen.
Yes, holy crap. What did she say? Pigs are good.
Good way to get rid of dead bodies.
That's true.
Or living bodies who need to be dead fast.
Who said 62?
And that turkey is just why you never trust a man with a pig farm.
No, you didn't. You said 75. I don't remember.
65 was radar.
Radar one.
Oh, 69. Right? Nice radar. Is that 69? Because that's why you're doing it with your mouth holes.
Because if I go by 69, right? Then Jason.
Finley just.
No. Radar. Radar, you win. You win the horror movie pillowcase.
Woo, Radar!
I will
congratulations,
get,
buddy.
I'll get with you on Instagram to get the. But remember, everybody, make sure you are making scare videos.
Scare videos.
On and putting, posting them on social media.
All over.
All over and tag.
You oh, yes.
Tag, tag the shit out of oh, the yes. scene stops.
And the one I'm going love, to. Gets this.
Just yep, that's the one right there. Halloween because look at, I mean, look, it's got Laurie Strode. It's got the best final girl ever, and I will fight over that. That's going to be a debate as well.
We'll bring it back. We're going to do that one more horror talk to do. I will say this, guys. Again, you can check us out on Radio Free Hub City every day at 12 p.m. Eastern for your lunch break. You can check us out on Helium Radio Network every Sunday. Venue TV, we haven't come out yet. It's good. We just haven't premiered yet.
Ah, fair.
So I will let everybody know then when we get there, but we are going to be on Venue TV. Helium Radio Network, we are on Sundays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Untethered Radio.
Untethered Radio.
Go check us out there. So with that being said, check out the Scene Snobs merch store if you're interested. We also have a Patreon membership. We do a giveaway for all of our Patreon members. This month, I don't have it on me. It is a regular full-size poster of A Nightmare on Elm Street. So if you are interested, we will be picking one of our lucky Patreon winners, sometime in the next like week or so.
In the eventual time.
And then we will let you know on one of the future episodes this month.
Later.
I don't have dates in front of me.
Why?
It will be on a Tuesday. I'll tell you that.
Bingo.
So with that being said, if you do want to join, go over to the Scene Snobs Patreon. It's $5 a month, and then you are entered in there as well. With that,
Paul, do you have anything you want to throw out there? Any goodbyes?
He's going to finish off.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to make sure that we don't have any more of our stuff.
Are we talking about my amateur script night or later? That's later. We'll do that.
That's
later.
On the tour.
Okay. Yeah, that's on the tour. Right.
Okay. Paul, finish this off.
Get it done. I just want to thank you guys for letting me come on. It was really awesome to be on and made this birthday absolutely stellar. You know, 30 was really easy. I was really freaking out about it, and my brother came into town to spend it with me, which was really awesome because he lives in Idaho, not Iowa.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. You guys love and then when
Idaho, Idaho, Idaho.
Right. And then with this, too, it's just been a really great birthday. So I really appreciate you guys having me on, even though I might have made it a little crazy for this one. But I'd love to come back on whenever you guys want. And thank you guys a lot.
Of course, brother. We'll have you back on for sure. Next week, we do have Kingsley Jefferson from Main Street Cinema coming on the show.
The Kings.
And then we are going to get Paul back on because especially we're ramping up with horror movies. So stay tuned. We will get with you guys soon.
Maybe try to do we might look into maybe doing a special podcast maybe for special horror stuff.
Well, yes. Maybe, I put the word out on that too.
Okay, good.
So I'm waiting to hear back. And once we do, I'll make the official announcement.
Awesome.
Possibly a... Either way, we're going to do a live Halloween show.
Yes.
But I'm waiting to hear back on a location.
Where we might be doing that show. Ooh, not your dog. No. Not in your pants. Oh, there.
In your upside down chair?
How would it be in your wall? I don't know. You're confusing me, Paul. This, I don't know.
It's Sam. Like,
it's how
Sam,
I clean. I just, everything off the floor.
Yeah, seriously, Sam, he's hammered. Take care of him.
I do want to say from us to you, Paul, happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
To 30.
We love you, buddy. Congratulations. Triple X, baby. Too. Woo!
Woo!
Mick does, Paul done. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. Hey, this is where we started. Listen to the last episode.
Yeah, right?
Anything you want
to
add?
Nothing. Just to make sure to be kind to each other. We love and appreciate y'all.
All right. It's love right. you, Len.
That's our show, everybody. Again, I'm Scene Snob McManhattan. That was my partner, the Madman Casey Plott. You can catch us live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Or you can follow up on any podcast platform the next day or on our YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and subscribe. We appreciate you guys listening. Give us some feedback. Talk to us the whole nine yards. Until next time, take care, everybody.